Why are there so many traffic accidents on Interstate 70 between Terre Haute and Indianapolis? Hi, this is Dave Crooks from the DLC Media News Center. On today's Focus on the Community, my special guest is Sergeant Matt Ames, Public Information Officer for the Indiana State Police Putnamville Post. We will discuss what seems to be an uptick in accidents on this busy interstate and remind drivers of simple ways to remain safe as they drive on Hoosier roadways. Good morning, Matt.
Well, good morning, Dave. How are you doing today?
Well, not bad. It's not another beautiful weekend, and I tell you what, people are hitting the highways before school starts, and of course, roads are busy, and I know on Thursday you had a busy afternoon. I noticed on your Facebook another wreck out on I-70 between the Terre Haute and Brazil exits, I guess near the construction area. What is that, mile marker 26 or 7?
Yeah, 26. Well, presently on Interstate 70, we have construction going on the eastbound side from the 23-mile marker to the 27-mile marker. And then on the westbound side, we just have construction going at the 2-mile marker right now.
Okay.
Or excuse me, not the 2, the 23-mile marker, the Brazil exit.
And then does that go to one lane in both directions during that in that area?
It does get reduced down to one lane in both directions. There is ample signage both directions. Ruth Riley is the one that's doing the construction, and they are out there. They have several trucks that are stating, like, hey, traffic will be slowing down here in approximately 2 miles. And it's, in our opinion, the state police, it's marked appropriately that people should be aware that there is a construction zone that's upcoming.
So on the most recent accident Thursday afternoon, I'm assuming what, distracted driving?
Absolutely. The driver did admit to Trooper Maynard that he was texting and driving. I didn't realize that traffic was going to stop that soon, and rear-ended one vehicle. And of course, running into one rear into one vehicle causes another vehicle to hit another vehicle. So it was a three-car passenger accident. Thank goodness no one was injured in that accident. But as soon as we got done working that accident, and we start moving traffic again and trying to get the flow going, there's another accident that occurred at the 32.5-mile marker right in the middle of a bridge. So of course, we had to shut the interstate down once again. Because it takes a while for medical emergency people to get there, and then also for the wreckers to get there so we can open the roadway back up.
Well, I either noticed either on your Facebook or if I just look out my front door here at the radio center, if I see all of a sudden all these semis lined up, I know something's gone wrong at I-70.
That is true, especially with living here in Brazil. That is, once we had the interstate shut down, we have to start diverting it off. Usually we try to divert it off at the Cloverdale exit or at the 243 at the 37-mile marker. And of course, all that traffic's got to come right in here to Brazil. And it makes it difficult for the local citizens here to be able to get around. So yeah, we do apologize for that, but we have no other way to do than to keep traffic moving.
Absolutely. Remind Hoosiers what our text and drive law is.
Well, the text and driving law has been in effect for 2 years now. And basically, the easiest way to explain it is, no telecommunications device shall be in your hand while you're operating a motor vehicle or while it's in motion. Now, it doesn't say that if you're stopped at a stoplight that you can't take and look at it real quick, but once the light goes green, that means the cell phone gets put down and you're supposed to start driving. But the thing is, there's a lot of other distractions that go on in a car that we realize. A lot of people will be using a cell phone. That's what most people think of. But people will be, we've worked fatal accidents where people are reaching down, getting a coffee or getting a sandwich from the vehicle. And then all of a sudden they look back up and now there's a vehicle stopped in front of them and they're striking those vehicles.
I remember the local sheriff here in Clay County telling me a few years ago that one of the distractions that occurred that caused a fatal accident, a Canadian driver driving a semi apparently somewhere on the interstate was watching a movie.
Yes, that's true. And they, I do a lot of commercial motor vehicle inspections, and you will see where the drivers will have their iPads and their telecommunication devices where they can see them as they're going down the roadway. And of course, that's a violation through the Federal Motor Carrier Regulations. They get written up for that, and then they have to talk to your employer about having those telecommunication devices there.
I just can't fathom that. I mean, a person in a great big 18-wheeler, which those weigh how many tons typically?
Supposed to be 80,000 pounds is what they're supposed to max out
So 40-ton rig coming down the highway, 70 miles an hour, and a guy or gal is watching a movie.
Yeah.
And 2 or 3 seconds go wrong and a disaster occurs.
Yep. I know of 2 incidents where that's occurred here in the Putnamville District. Of course, the one that Sheriff Harden talked to you, and then we had one at the 3-mile marker. We know the other individual was watching a movie going down the roadway.
I assume they were charged and perhaps convicted, or do you know? Do you recall?
Well, unfortunately, both of them were fatal accidents.
And they died.
Yeah, they were the fatal accident.
Okay. I didn't know if they were just injured and survived or not.
But, no, unfortunately.
Wow. How do we convince people to stay the heck off their phones when they're driving, Matt?
You know, that's a good question. The state police, we publicize it. All of our public information officers put it out there. We put statistics to go out there along with it. You know, just traveling at 55 miles an hour and looking at your phone, an average text takes 3 to 4 seconds. You're traveling the length of a football field. A lot of things can happen in that amount of time. And unfortunately, people usually aren't driving 55 miles an hour out here. We hear that complaint all the time. Usually, you know, if it's posted 60, people are driving 70 to 75. They're going over. A third of all accidents that occur nationwide are due to speed related. It's less time for the driver to be able to react. And of course, the stopping distance, they need a longer stopping distance. So people need to slow down. They need to make sure that they're not driving distracted. And it's real simple, too. They can just take their cell phone, give it to someone else that's in the vehicle, and say, hey, can you text Jim Bob for me and let Jim Bob know what's going on or that we're on our way. Or if you're getting ready to go somewhere, just take your cell phone. Like, I'll text my wife, like, hey, I'm driving now. I'll be home approximately 15, 20 minutes and let her know where I'm coming from. And then I don't need to say anything else to her. But another device, though, that we do have now is where the hands-free, where you can hit your button on your car and you'll be able to talk to someone. But unfortunately, a lot of people don't like to talk anymore. They just want to text back and forth.
There's some truth to that, especially the younger a person is.
Absolutely. Like. Younger people is a big problem. And I think they're going to find that out when they get older that, hey, guess what? Sometimes you've got to have a face-to-face communication and actually talk to people.
You know, I've had a cell phone for years, ever since they've came out. And of course, you would used to hold them. And now I've got them in my vehicle. I can at least be hands-free. But still, there's still a matter of distraction when you're on the phone and driving, though, wouldn't you say, even if it's hands-free?
Yes, there's still a distraction. You know, we like for people to just keep their hands on a steering wheel, make sure you're looking through the windshield, looking at your side mirrors, and looking at your rearview mirror in the vehicle the entire time. And a lot of times when we were talking earlier about being in the construction zone, when you start to enter that construction zone, number one, you want to make sure that you're paying attention to what the posted speed limits are, and you want to be looking for the workers through there. But you also need to start driving defensively. If you see someone is coming up from the rear, whether it's a semi tractor trailer or another vehicle, a passenger vehicle that's traveling too fast, you can make an evasive maneuver. A lot of times people will just get locked in that, hey, I can't go to the other side of those orange barrels. Those orange barrels are set there so that you can get ready to where the workers are at. There's nothing wrong if you see someone's coming up behind you too quick for you to jump those orange barrels. You can even hit the orange barrel. That'd be just a little bit of damage to your car versus getting rear end and possibly getting involved in a personal injury accident.
I understand what you're saying. We're talking with Matt Ames, the public information officer at the Putnamville, Indiana State Police Post. He's also a sergeant, and seems like when anything breaks out news-wise, we either see Matt on TV or notice his news releases or his social media posts. Regarding Interstate 70, it seems to me, and I think this is a problem not just on I-70, but I don't know. I think our roads are not in the kind of condition they need to be. And I know that's another big sensitive subject because everything's so expensive to try to fix a highway these days. But is that part of the problem too, perhaps, on I-70?
That is part of the problem. I mean, we just recently, I-70 was resurfaced the entire route from the state line all the way to Indianapolis approximately probably 8 to 9 years ago, and all of a sudden we're doing repairs again. But that deals with NDOT and the contractor making sure that the roadway is up to the standards of what NDOT sets for that.
Yeah, it just seems like a lot of roads are not in great conditions, and I know that's a big investment we have to make to keep them in better shape, because I can recall even driving on US 50 in southern Indiana, going to a baseball game one time in Cincinnati, and at that time I had to those low-profile tires in the vehicle I was driving hit a pretty big chuck hole and blew both tires.
Yeah.
So it's like, wow, I didn't see it fast enough to where I could, you know, divert it, but it was just one of those things. But Are you seeing any other roadways in your district that give you some extra concern right now that motorists ought to be aware of?
We are concerned. We do have a construction going on from Terre Haute all the way up to Clinton on State Road 63.
Right.
It gets reduced down to single, both north and southbound, and they're traveling against each other. The speed limit through that construction zone is 45 miles an hour. We do find that there's a lot of people that are getting frustrated because it's smooth now because it's been repaved from last year during the construction. They're just doing the other side right now. But people will pass on the right, doing illegal things like that. We do have extra patrols going in that area. We're attempting to find those individuals. But sometimes, you know, it's very difficult to be able to get them to get on a traffic stop because we have to take in consideration all the other traffic that's going out there, the officer safety and also the violator safety. But we do have extra patrols going on State Road 63 as well.
You've been close to this in your career, but probably one of the worst things you have to do in your job is relaying information that someone has died from an auto accident.
Oh, absolutely. It is. It's one of the most difficult things we have to do on our as being a trooper or any police officer that's working at a law enforcement. It's very difficult to make a notification. And people know when an officer knocks on the door that that's usually we're not there to deliver flowers to them. It's usually some bad news.
Yeah, that and the fact that if you were a driver and you were so impatient that you had to take that phone call or text back someone when it clearly could have waited and you either caused permanent injury or you killed someone, I don't know if a lot of people could live with that sort of fault.
That is true. I've worked an accident here in Clay County at the 17-mile marker approximately 4 years ago where a semi-tractor-trailer ran over a van and killed two small children.
I remember.
And I know that driver is no longer operating a commercial motor vehicle. He hung it up. Of course, he was very distraught over it. And there was some local charges here through the Clay County Prosecutor's Office that were filed on it. But, you know, it's been adjudicated and it's time for that family's recovered. I still have had contact with him on a few occasions and spoken with him. And they've also been in contact with the Riley Fire Department as they were the first responders to be there to give the medical care.
Back to the texting and driving law. So you mentioned, okay, so you can definitely be on your phone if it's hands-free.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're in motion, obviously that's the key. Be off the phone unless it is hands-free. But what about, I think there's a clause in the law, if you're pulling up to an intersection and you're stopped, you can actually do a quick text apparently and not be in trouble for that. Is that right?
If your vehicle is completely stopped at a stoplight, you're allowed to be able to look at your phone real quick. But once it turns green, it's time to go.
Okay. But still, I think there's a matter of risk there too, isn't there?
There is a risk there because number one, sometimes you come up to a stoplight, especially if it's going to be a turn lane. It's only going to be green for a short amount of time, and you got people behind you. And all of a sudden, now you're not only delaying yourself, you're delaying the other drivers. And, of course, that turns into sometimes road rage that we have to deal with out here on the roadside. I would like to talk about that real quick, too.
Please.
Especially if you're around the Indianapolis area. We've had 66 instances where there's been gunplay and some on 465. If you get in a situation where you're getting involved in a road rage incident, guess what? The best thing is to let the cooler head prevail. Number one, find the next exit, and then take an opportunity to go into a filling station, get you a Coke, get you a bottle of water, just to calm down from the instance. There's nothing that's going to come out of getting in a road rage incident with someone because you never know what that other driver is going to have in the vehicle with him.
And that's a very good point because the 465 and the downtown I-70 split with that construction going on. I mean, I just dread going to Indy these days, especially during the day because 465 is a parking lot, it seems like.
It is a parking lot. I was coming home last night from the State House doing security there. And, of course, 465 coming into Indianapolis was a parking lot. And I'm like, man, that's got to be frustrating. I'm glad I live in a small rural area where I'm at right now. But, you know, one of the things we do is we do post on social media at ISP Putnamville and also our NDOT. If there is an accident that occurs on Interstate 70, go ahead, before you get ready to leave, check those social media sites, see where or not there's an actual a long delay going, and find an alternate route. Fortunately, here in the Brazil area, you can get off at the mile marker 51 or at the Cloverdale exit. You can take State Road 42 or US 40 to get to your home destination and not have to feel with the frustration of being involved in an accident and sitting, you know, 2 or 3 hours. Because a lot of times when we do get accidents that involve these commercial motor vehicles, it takes the record service, 3 or 4 hours to get it cleaned up and do it properly. So that way
sure.
that we can get the get the roadway open back up.
I've been using 40 almost exclusively now, just to go to Indy and back. So
I do know that our troopers are working 40 a lot more because it's a newly paved road and it's pretty good shape. And the speeds are pretty good on US 40 is what I've been told.
And plus for me, I guess the older I get, I'm not driving quite as quickly as I used to because it's like, what's an extra 5 minutes going to matter, really?
Exactly.
And remind people of that. When they drive an extra 5, 10, 15 miles per hour, what are they really saving?
Realistically, they're only saving like maybe 5 to 10 minutes on their arrival time. They're not saving that much. Number one, you'd be saving yourself some gas money by not traveling as fast. Well, we all want to do that right now.
Right.
And you're saving wear and tear on your vehicle.
And also the impact if you do have an accident, whether you're driving 55, 70, or let's say even 80 or whatever, I mean, there's a significant difference on the impact too, right?
Absolutely. Definitely a different significance on what type of damage can be done. And the faster you go, the more likely you're going to be involved in a personal injury accident.
What's seatbelt compliance look like these days, in your opinion?
Overall, I believe seatbelt compliance is up really well. We still have the local people, especially when people are, say, are driving around here in the Brazil area or they're in Terre Haute, where they feel comfortable at. A lot of times they won't wear their seatbelt. And they're like, well, I'm just going from here to there, and it's only a mile. Well, guess what? Unfortunately, that's where most of the accidents do occur. There's been studies that's been done, and most accidents occur for people approximately 15 miles away from their house because people get relaxed and they're not paying as attention anymore due to the fact that they know their surroundings and they feel comfortable.
So if you're in a neighborhood where it's 45, if you still have to drive and you're without a seatbelt, it's almost like driving into a brick wall at 45 miles an hour.
Absolutely.
Right?
The National Highway Traffic Association has shown that there's been a 20% uptick of people being ejected from vehicles and being involved in fatals this year because they are not wearing their seatbelts.
You mentioned road rage a moment ago, and of course, Indiana is one of the states that recently allows the constitutional carry for handguns mm-hmm. without a permit.
Mm-hmm.
What are you observing, or what's the state police seeing so far, good, bad, or indifferent?
So far, me personally, I've seen good. A lot of people that went on traffic stops with them, they let me know immediately that, hey, there's a weapon in the vehicle, and they let me know exactly where it's at. Now, me as the officer, I'm not going to ask to take the weapon from them, but I do appreciate that they're letting me know where it's at. The only thing that we do is ask them to keep their hands exposed to us where we can see them the entire time. And basically, if you get pulled over by a police officer, we always want you to go to the right side of the roadway because that's the safest location for the violator and for the officer. As the officer's coming up and you have a weapon in the vehicle, don't be reaching for your driver's license. Don't be reaching for the registration. We'll ask for that when we're ready for it. Just take and place your hands on the steering wheel at 2 and 10. Let them be exposed to the officer because we're always looking at people's hands because we know that's what can hurt us, whether or not they have what type of weapon they have, whether it's a gun, whether it's a knife, a bat, anything like that. Let them see your hands. Say, hey, I've got a gun. It's located here in the console. And that way the officer knows it's there. And then that officer will ask for all the information that they need to conduct the traffic stop.
But again, they don't technically have to tell you they have a handgun, but it's kind of a courtesy right now, right? If you would appreciate knowing that.
Yeah,
right?
We do appreciate knowing that. And, you know, the most important thing is that we ask for people to make sure that they get trained properly. A lot of times people don't get trained properly. Number one, what are you doing with your weapon after you're done having it on your person? Are you putting it in a gun lock? Do you have a trick or mechanism? So therefore a small child doesn't get a hold of the weapon. And that they know the ins and outs of that gun. They know how to take care of it properly. They know all the safety procedures. They know where the safety is. Make sure you get your proper training. What we're afraid of, one thing is we're going to have is people just, hey, I'm carrying a handgun on me, and people are going to use that as an intimidation factor. You know, I go to the gas station every morning and I see the same gentleman every morning. We never speak, but it's kind of like when you get in your morning routine, you see the same people and it's kind of like, hey, how are you? And this gentleman has a big 45 just off of his side of his hip. And it's like, okay, I see you got your gun there. That's really nice. But to me, that's okay. But you have to take the other general public into consideration. Don't use it as an intimidation factor for people. Make sure that you're being courteous towards everyone. Go ahead, untuck your shirt, cover it up, and just do that.
That's good advice. Open container law in Indiana, and I sometimes wonder if it contributes to littering, but we don't want people drinking and driving, obviously. But I
absolutely
sometimes,
not.
But I sometimes think people use that as an excuse if they do that sort of thing. But I see litter along the roadways that bother me. But let's get back to the main thing. You can't drink and drive in Indiana or any state for that matter.
No, you cannot.
Okay. So a reminder that, you know, if you've had one or two drinks, you probably should not be driving, right?
Correct.
Okay. What about like states like Illinois that have legal cannabis and they drive across the state line to Indiana? What kind of things are you seeing related to their law that could affect ours?
We do see people come in. They will go over to Illinois, purchase their cannabis legally, and then they'll bring it back here in the state of Indiana. What you need to remember is it's illegal to have here in the state of Indiana. Depending on how much cannabis you have on you, you can receive a citation and be summoned into court. Or you could possibly, at that time of the traffic stop, go to jail for how much cannabis you have.
So even though a state might make it legal, that doesn't mean it's legal in Indiana.
That is correct.
And especially you can't be, you know, smoking it and driving down the roadway. So
absolutely not.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing is there's still being studies done on what type of effect that cannabis has on people. The number one thing is we still have to give standard field sobriety tests to the violator, and they have to fail those field sobriety tests. We have to show that there's impairment while they're operating a motor vehicle. And of course, of doing all that, we will look at, reflect what the Indiana code states is, that, hey, they failed these field sobriety tests. Their driving showed that they went left to center, that they were exceeding the posted speed limit, making bad decisions while they were driving. And then we would arrest them for, it's not OWI, but it's operating under the influence of a controlled substance.
So as we get ready to wrap this up in our closing few minutes, I guess since you see so much on a daily basis, good, bad, ugly, what do you want to share with the community that we haven't touched on yet that maybe people should think about, especially when they're driving?
You know, the most important thing is you've got to be responsible when you're out here driving. You got to make sure that you're ready to drive. You're not driving while distracted, paying attention to the speed limit signs and making sure that you're buckled up. If you can do those three things and that you're driving defensively, you're going to make it safe for yourself, for the other drivers out there, and for the passengers that you have in your vehicle with you.
And is there anything else in the West Central area, West Central part of Indiana that we haven't touched on? I know you touched on, besides I-70, the Indiana 63 one-lane situation for now. Any other areas come to mind that people should be aware of?
Nope, the Indiana State Police wants everyone just to have a great rest of the summer. We got the State Fair that's coming up here. Starts July 28th. We encourage people to come over to the State Fair. I'll be working there for 2 weeks. Stop by the Operations Center. You can say hi to me. We can get a photo op and talk about what's going on here locally here in the Terre Haute and Brazil area. We encourage everyone just to be kind to each other. Take the opportunity to wave at someone, smile at someone, make them feel good about themselves, and in return, it'll make you feel good about yourself, too.
That's great advice, Matt. And I do remember there was a news release by NDOT, I think, last week, Highway 36 and 59 at Belmore. I guess that whole intersection is going to be redesigned, correct?
Yes, it is going to be redesigned. Hopefully, it'll make it a little bit easier as to directing traffic up there during the Covered Bridge Festival.
Good point.
So we'll have that be coming here before too long. It'll be here before we know it.
But that's going to go to a four-way stop. Is that my understanding?
That's my understanding, too.
Oh, okay, so that'll be different. And then I did, I went to Brockville last Thursday night for the fair, and I came in from Rio Grande Road, and as you know, Highway 41, before it goes from four-lane to two-lane, mm-hmm. they've got those flashers showing that oncoming traffic is coming. Those are some interesting devices that it seems like that NDOT's come up with that, hey, that makes perfect sense.
It does make perfect sense. We have worked a lot of accidents up in that area, too.
Yeah, and I drive to Vincennes and Lawrenceville a lot to the south, and I noticed at Oaktown, they've redesigned a couple of intersections that have always been very dangerous to where you almost have to yield left and do kind of a turnaround instead of just crossing traffic.
Yeah, they have that there in Oaktown now. That's a nice little adjustment.
I think that makes sense too. And you know, a lot of people around here cuss rotaries, but yet it seems like in places like Carmel and other places where they do have rotaries, it does seem to work and keep traffic flowing once you get the hang of them.
Yeah, once you get the hang, sometimes you get a little confused going in those roundabouts. I know we had the one over on State Road 40 or on 641 bypass on State Road 46. We do see some people get confused around that and they go around it a couple of times before they figure out, oh, this is where I exit.
Matt Ames, our special guest, the public information officer for the Putnamville, Indiana State Police Post. If they want to follow you, you're on both Twitter and Facebook, right?
Absolutely. I'm on Instagram, but I'm not too good at Instagram.
That's one more thing I don't really need. But let me also remind people, though, that if you follow Matt, don't be looking at his messages when you drive.
Absolutely.
We need to all do better about just putting the phone away, and it'll wait till later, right? So, so Matt, thanks for taking time out of your busy day to talk about what we're seeing in our region. And hopefully we can all work together to make our summer safer, because nobody wants to ruin their lives by, you know, causing an accident, causing harm to someone else. That would just be a horrible thing to live with. And I think sometimes we just get in so big of a hurry in our fast-paced life, and all these instant devices make you think you have to respond, and you really, really don't have to respond immediately.
No, you don't have to. And that's the thing. People always say, well, I remember in the old days. Well, guess what? You control your day. Do what you want to do, and just Take it nice and easy, and make sure that you're not texting and driving.
Yeah, enjoy the drive, and maybe find a good radio station to listen to.
Absolutely.
Enjoy the music. Matt, thanks again for being with us. We greatly appreciate it. This has been Focus on the Community, produced by the DLC Media News Center. I'm Dave Crooks. This program is broadcast Saturday mornings at 6 a.m. on 104.9 WAXI, 7 a.m. on WAMB, AM 1130, 106.9 and 99.5, Sundays at 6 a.m. on 105.5 WVIG, and 7 a.m. on 92.7 WFNB. For a download of this show and other past programs, visit any one of our radio station websites. Have a great weekend.